Live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, it's Robbie and Rex Road.
With Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road.
On Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Monday morning, reacting to a big weekend for the Tennessee Titans. They improved to 5-0 on the season, and a horrible weekend for the Tennessee Vols. 2-2, a 34-7 loss to the Kentucky Wildcats on Saturday. Joe, you were there in Neyland Stadium, and I got to be honest with you. Just watching the game, I felt like an absolute idiot. Because the day before, I came out with this nice article on thegamenashville.com, and I'm sitting there telling people, you know, Jarrett Garantano, he's the best option for this Vols team right now, like it or not. I mean, you look around, and JT Schrout, just athletically, is not on par with Garantano. Brian Maurer probably is, but he's just not ready right now. And Harrison Bailey's a little puppy in there. He's not ready to be thrown to the Wolves as of yet. And then Garantano comes out and throws two of the dumbest interceptions I have ever seen a Tennessee quarterback ever throw. And that says a lot because I have watched Justin Worley play quarterback. I have watched Matt Sims play quarterback. There have been some god-awful quarterbacks for Tennessee. And Garantano comes out and throws two of the worst interceptions you'll ever see. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I can't believe that I've led the people astray into thinking that this guy is the best option at quarterback for Tennessee. And then I got to thinking about it. He probably still is the best option at quarterback for Tennessee, and that is a direct indictment on Jeremy Pruitt and that coaching staff. If you can't find somebody better to play the quarterback position than Jarrett Garantano at this point, it is coaching malpractice. I mean, it's embarrassing that we're still having these conversations about the quarterback position at Tennessee at year three with Jeremy Pruitt. It really is.
No, it is. It's unacceptable. You know, JT Schrout has been in this program, you know, for 3 years, and Brian Maurer played a lot of football last year. Now, Pruitt did talk about all the time he's missed, and I think he probably would have been the replacement over Schrout, just as he was last year. I mean, it was Maurer as a true freshman last year over Schrout. But the fact that this is basically what you have to keep doing is a real problem. So you could go with the freshman, but I also wonder – you know, with Garantano, last year it was kind of like, okay, first year of Jim Chaney's offense, and early on it was obviously that was part of it, and then he figured it out. And then you missed some passes at South Carolina this year, and we're talking about him then, right? We're like, wow, man, you gotta hit these gimmies. But the decision thing we thought was over, and now all of a sudden that comes up. And, hey, when Pruitt comes out, and of course he couches it with, that's on me, but when Pruitt comes out and says, I don't like that play call. More than once, when he's talking about the Garantano picks, that tells you something right there. He just fired his D-line coach and co-defensive coordinator, too. So right now, the Tennessee football coaching staff is, to me, not only under the microscope, but it also may be the most troubling thing right now about the program.
Yeah, and our good friend Bob on Twitter tweets in, JG is the Jake Locker of Vols football. He's a really good kid. He works really hard. He's dedicated. He's just flat out not good enough. And look, I think sometimes you have these conversations and people view it as like a personal attack on Jarrett Garantano. I don't know how you could be a Vols fan and not root for that guy just based on the type of kid he is. He's a great kid by all accounts, and he has taken some absolute beatings at that position over the year at quarterback. I've got a lot of respect for that. I've got a lot of respect for him as a person. He's just not a good quarterback. He's not a good quarterback. He's not an SEC-level quarterback. And the fact that he's still playing in year three under Jeremy Pruitt, that's a problem. I mean, and you're going to point to Harrison Bailey, and I get it. He got in the game, made his debut on Saturday against Kentucky. He made a nice throw. There were still a couple things where you're like, okay, I mean, he's still got a lot of work to do before he's ready to play. And I've even heard the idea of maybe starting Harrison Bailey this Saturday against Alabama, which I think is just an atrocious idea. It's a horrible idea. It's like, talk about throwing a kid to the wolves. So you're probably going to go back with Garantano this weekend against Alabama. The question becomes, after Alabama, if this continues into Arkansas, at what point do you just have to pull the plug and say, hey, we get it. Jarrett Garantano probably still is our best chance to win right now, but if he's going to continue to make decisions like this, why not put in the freshman and just see what you can do and see what you can build on at that point?
Well, but okay, but I don't think you necessarily have to make that jump. I think Maurer is the – look, forget Shrout, okay?
Shrout's not good enough, flat out.
He's not good enough. Honestly, I was surprised that he didn't transfer. I think if it was a normal offseason, maybe he would have. He should go somewhere else and where he can play. He's not going to play here.
And speaking of, there's been like five reports over the last week of Brian Maurer transferring that he's had to come out on Twitter and like debunk all of them.
Because he's had like these cryptic like Instagram or tweets or whatever. And I mean, half the time when that happens, it's like someone talking about a girlfriend.
Yes. You know?
But what, yeah. Maurer to me is that's the reasonable answer here. He's been in the program. Okay. He's had some physical limitations that have limited his reps, but you can give him a ton of reps this week. And I would not mind seeing Maurer starting the Alabama game. That to me is, look, he's a guy with big time talent and athleticism. He's an emotional guy. He can get the team charged up. He also was bad last year. They brought him in against Indiana in the bowl game. He was bad at Kentucky. They went back to Garantano and he took it and ran with it. But Maurer to me, you could go there. And then you like you said, Garantano he's demonstrated what he is at this point. I think the freshman right now would be – I think that's only if you get to the point where you are 2-6, 2-7 or something like that, and you give them the last few games.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, Garantano has shown Vols Nation that he just can't take the bad. Like Darren always says, it's easy to do interviews and pressers when it's going well, but Garantano has shown everyone he can't even take playing poorly. He goes and sits alone and pouts when he's taken out. And that's what a team does not need. I understand you never want to be taken out of your game, but sometimes it's just not your day, and you regroup for when you're called back in. It's not a good look when the head coach takes the quarterback out to calm him down, and he goes and sits by himself.
No, that's a good point. I watched him a lot from the press box Saturday at Neyland Stadium, and when they scored a touchdown. So they score a touchdown to make it 17-7. I mean, Eric Gray, 9 straight carries, 61 yards on those carries, just crushing.
And you're thinking to yourself, why are you not doing this from the start of the game?
But they were, and then you got to pass some, and you give them touchdowns. I mean, on the second TD, they're about to score a touchdown and make it 7-all.
I know, and
you
give them a touchdown. My goodness.
You know, they were. I mean, they ran for 175 in a blowout loss. So, but I watched, they score that touchdown, and Garantano, like, turns around and is, like, head down, trudging the sideline. Like, go celebrate with your teammates. Now, listen. Anybody who ever tweets at him, gets personal, all this stuff, you're an idiot. You should delete your freaking account. You are disgusting, okay? And I'm talking to way too many Vols fans who do this crap. But I agree that Garantano has got to, at this point, it's experience. It's also be mature and help whoever's in at quarterback. I understand it's an emotional situation, but like right there, you're scoring a touchdown. It's 17-7. You're back on the field. You're the quarterback. And it looks like he's still thinking about the pick sixes. There's no way you're gonna succeed then if you can't turn the page, you know. And he clearly didn't turn the page. And then in the second half, what do? Huge possession. Go score a touchdown, 17-14. It's a different game. But what do? They go run, run, run. And on fourth and one, they've been going on every fourth and one all year. Nope, let's punt.
Just punt the ball.
And all of a sudden, Terry Wilson's like, oh, yeah, they don't cover the slant. I'll just keep – that's a pitch and catch for me, and then the game's over. So, again, it kind of goes back to the coaches too. And sort of if you don't trust him that much, then go somewhere else. I don't know where. I know we understand because of it's your fault, you don't have a place to turn. But still, if you can't – like last year, Mississippi State, what'd they run, like 20 straight plays with Garantano at quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, we will not trust him ever to throw the ball. Well, then put somebody else in.
And, like, don't at some point if you're – Pruitt, and you know that that's what it's going to be like, even if there is, I guess, more of a lower floor with Maurer and some of the decision he makes, don't you at least have to try it at that point? I mean, like, you know what it is with Garantano, and there are times where he looks okay and he'll make some throws. Like the throw he made at the first half against Georgia, I think the second touchdown pass to Josh Palmer, that's an NFL throw. Peyton Manning himself could not have thrown that ball better. And then you'll have one that's just totally erratic and all over the place. That's what he is. You know that's what he is. He's been that way for 5 years. You know exactly what he is. So at some point, don't you have to weigh like what the upside could be with Maurer and just turn him loose? Yeah, he's probably going to make some mistakes and throw some picks. What's the difference? So is Garantano.
Yeah, well, Listen, if Garantano did what he just did Saturday every week, it'd be easy. He would have been out a long time ago. Problem is, you do have those games. I mean, even South Carolina missing some passes, he moved the chains in some big moments. And there's also all the pre-snap stuff. And there's also the fact that Pruitt is a defensive coach who, even more than your average head coach, probably hates the idea of giving the other team points more than anything. And you saw what Shrout did, and we've seen with Maurer, too. He gets loose with the football, too.
You know? He does.
But again, it's like, so you're going to the offensive staff here and saying, can you not come up with a quarterback who doesn't make plays like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And now you're looking at the rest of the schedule, and Arkansas, I mean, as a Vols fan, Arkansas scares the bejesus out of me right now. I mean, they really do. Defensively, they're playing so well. Sam Pittman's got an identity on that team. I just kind of penciled in Arkansas before the season as a win. Arkansas may be favored in that game at this point.
I like how we're looking past Alabama to Arkansas right now.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I get it, but it's just like, oh, man. Huge rivalry in college football. Like, yeah, but that Arkansas game. No, but you're right.
Look, I mean, I was there the last time Tennessee beat Alabama. It was 2006. I was 14. I'm now 28 on a radio show.
Man, well, I guess that reminds me I got to go buy a cigar.
Were you 16? So you were 16 then, huh?
Yeah.
Were you driving?
Great performance by Eric Ainge that day.
Eric Ainge.
It was nice.
Well, I do.
And back then, Alabama was like,
look, I remember
Mike
Shula. I remember a lot of close games. I remember the Mount Cody block on the field goal. Tennessee almost won that game.
That was Lane Kiffin.
And then Mount Cody, bow.
I mean, Butch almost got him in Tuscaloosa. And was it 15?
Yeah.
Yeah, 15.
And then Derrick Henry happened.
Right. Yeah.
Derrick Henry won the Heisman on that run in that game.
That's not going to happen this Saturday.
They've had better luck in Tuscaloosa lately than they have at home.
You're right. Yeah, last year. Speaking of awful tweets at Garantano after that game. But, yeah, I mean, Arkansas, that's the most surprising thing in Power 5 football right now to me is Arkansas football this year. Sam Pittman, good defense. Barry Odom and the Vols. That's going to be a season kind of making or breaking game for them. After this, whatever happens here, they just have to get through this one.
When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans. Maybe some bad news today for the Titans on the injury front. We'll get into that next. But first, I got a pair of tickets to give away to see Nashville SC take on FC Dallas at Nissan Stadium tomorrow night. Caller 5 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC take on FC Dallas at Nissan Stadium tomorrow night. And we'll also have other chances to win tickets later today with both Darren Donick and Chase and Jared and the GM. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Monday morning. Joe, Titans fans hoping for some decent news today. I'm not going to say good news. I'll say some decent news today. There's a fear out there reported by Jay Glazer last night that the Titans think Taylor Lewan could have torn his ACL. We have not seen word on that yet, but obviously, if that's the case, awful news for the Titans in an otherwise glorious day yesterday with the win against the Texans. If the worst happens, Joe, and Taylor Lewan is out either for the rest of this season or for a significant portion of time, what do the Titans do at left tackle, in your opinion? And is Isaiah Wilson, their first-round pick, a part of the plans at all this season?
Well, it wouldn't be anytime soon. I mean, is it possible at some point that Isaiah Wilson this year could be, as a first-round pick, chosen to be the right tackle of this football team for a long time? Could he be that this year and allow Dennis Kelly to go to the left side? At this point, I would say unlikely. I would not say impossible. Right now, they're going to go with Kelly at right tackle and Tyson Brio at left tackle. And I will tell you, that's been a pretty good pickup. Right now, that looks like a bad first-round choice. It's a good offseason pickup to get Tyson Brio. But I think that you've got to try to get Isaiah Wilson ready. I mean, this is a guy with a ton of physical ability, guy who was out of shape, well-chronicled struggles and troubles in the offseason, the DUI, but a guy who, at this point, you know, he was an inactive Sunday, but he should be inactive this next game, and he's a guy that, as you move forward, you got to try to get him going.
All right, but how out of shape could you be? I mean, you're an NFL player. You were a first-round talent. You were really good at Georgia. Like, how out of shape could you be? Like, I understand, like, now he would be out of shape because he spent a month on the COVID list. So, like, that's part of it. But, like, at what point is the out-of-shape thing, like, how much work do you need to do with this guy to get him into shape and be able to play?
I don't know the answer to that. And honestly, I don't know what kind of shape. Maybe he's in great shape now, you know, after the last month. I don't know. We haven't seen him, really, but – and it's not like, again, like in camp, it's not like he was like grossly out of shape.
Right.
But it was just, it was clear that he wasn't in prime shape. And you know, that's what you got to be in the NFL. I mean, you got to do everything you can to get on the field. And that's going to be a really interesting thing. And listen, I think Dennis Kelly has been really good at right tackle. And I think he's better at right tackle. And I think back to the beginning of last year when he was at left tackle. And they were the opposite of what this offensive line has been, even though with a lot of the same guys, they were on pace to set the record for sacks allowed.
Yeah.
They had 3 sacks allowed going into yesterday. So now I think that's a lot of that is, you know, Saffold was new and all that stuff. But I do think that Kelly is better at right tackle. So my guess is that the way the Titans finished the game yesterday is how the Titans will play until and unless they can get Luan back at all, at any point. I mean, basically, Titans fans are hoping for non-disastrous news today. It's not going to be – I don't think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
There's going to be a loss of at least some time, but obviously you hope the guy didn't tear his ACL and can get back at some point. If he did, I think the most likely scenario is that offensive line that finished the game is going to be the offensive line for the rest of the year if you can keep all those guys healthy.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Luan is just more proof – that a good all-around team isn't a good strategy. We need more stars to compensate for setbacks.
I don't understand what he's saying.
I don't either.
Explain that to me.
Yeah, me neither.
Who's the texter?
There's no name.
Anonymous text, I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I mean, is Luan, as an offensive lineman go, Luan is a
Luan's
star.
A star.
Right?
I mean, I guess they're saying you need more stars.
No, he wants, yeah. He wants 5
you'd
pro
You'd love
levels.
To have no salary cap, too. You know?
I mean, I guess you're hoping that Isaiah Wilson will be a star.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened yet.
You draft him in the first round. That's a
– at this point, I just take getting him on the field.
Yeah.
Forget the star part of it. Just get on the field.
I mean, the first time we see Isaiah Wilson will be, you know, probably in some sort of a jumbo short yardage thing. You know, I figured that might be a role for him this year anyway when he was active. But how far away is he from actually being able to go out there and execute at right tackle in an NFL game? You would think it would be weeks at a minimum.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, I saw a story on Broadway Sports that Vrabel did the 12 men on defense penalty on purpose to trade the first down to save time. Is that true? If so, that's impressive because that won the game.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. We'll ask him today. I promise you that. And it's something that should have been asked yesterday, but gosh, there's a million.
There's a lot of things going on yesterday.
I mean, you know, you got Tannehill, you got overtime, you got Henry. You got all this stuff going around, but that definitely crossed my mind when they did it. I thought back to, I think it was the Jets 2 years ago. I think that's right. And it was the same thing. It may have been Washington, but it was one of those games where they took a defensive penalty to stop the clock, give up, I think, a first down again, but also actually put them in better position with the clock. Well, that text just made you, like, recoil.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So the texter, we were trying to figure out what was going on with Luan there, responded, if this happened to Mahomes, they would handle it. This happens to Mahomes. Kansas City is screwed. I don't understand what's going on.
They would handle it.
Yeah, like they would be able to overcome it.
Well, what didn't
– I don't think so.
Wait, didn't, like, 2 offensive linemen, like, opt out for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Who's Mahomes' backup?
I have no idea.
I'm so confused right now.
Is it Chase Daniels?
I've been a huge fan.
Is he still in the league?
I don't know. Is Chase Daniels still in the league?
Elvis Gerbach?
I've been a huge
fan of the text line because it's quick hitter. We get a lot of reaction in there. But sometimes this is, you know, it's like with texting in general or tweeting.
Sometimes context is needed.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's just you don't quite understand. And sometimes, when you know, speaking to someone, you can sort it out.
You prefer human interaction.
Did that person give a name?
No. You prefer interaction.
Well, I like the text. And actually, when you talk to your friends and family, how much do you talk to them in person anymore? Or do you just text them all the time?
Oh, it's a lot of texting going on.
I bet you guys can't name who the backup is because I am completely.
Oh, I can. I can already tell you.
Who is it?
Oh, I cannot, is what I'm saying.
Joe? This is good. This is a really good pack.
One of the McCowns? I don't know.
Chad Haney.
Oh, Chad Haney? Yeah.
Wow, he's still in the league. How about
By the way, if someone asked me, this goes back to the Vols discussion with Harrison Bailey, because I was tweeting about how, like, you know, two freshmen very rarely work out for you at quarterback. And someone's like, who's the best freshman you've ever seen as a true freshman? And I was like, that's a great question. I thought of Terrell Pryor, Ohio State, but actually Chad Haney at Michigan – 2004 was very good for them.
Ah, we have some clarification. They're talking about the offensive line, not Mahomes specifically, but there have been some opt-outs, some injuries on the Chiefs' offensive line, and they've handled it well.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. But I still don't get how that relates to us having stars. But regardless, yeah, look, I think Corey Curtis had a great point earlier. You're gonna have to compensate a little bit, whereas in the past, it's just a great luxury. It's why you pay so much to a left tackle. You can say, you know what? He's got a great pass rusher over there, and we're going to leave him alone, and he's going to be fine. And we can put another person in out on a route, or we can help the right side, or whatever. We can do different things. And now you're going to have to provide help to Tyson Bryar that you should have before J.J. Watt blew in and got the strip sack. So it's going to change things. It doesn't mean it has to be disastrous. I do wonder with Tannehill. He's just been incredible at standing in, trusting his protection, making plays. I mean, in the back of his mind, he knows that he's not going to have his left tackle for however long it's going to be here.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, Joe, weren't the Vikings your lock of the week? That didn't go so well for you.
Who was that?
No name.
I want some names on these texts.
Are you going to require everyone to put their name on stuff?
Yeah, I want names so I can fire back and call your name out. Preferably,
you're going to fire back and defend that?
I'm going to fire back and say I'm an idiot, okay? But I want to be able to call someone by their name and preferably their middle name too, you know, like when you get in trouble. Joseph Harris Rexroad, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Gave your whole information out there on the radio. Nice.
There you go. Sorry. Yeah, maybe that was a mistake.
Joseph Harris.
I just like Joe Rule better. I'm going to have to stick with that.
Yes, the Vikings were my freaking lock. What a
Didn't
joke.
Didn't go well.
Sorry.
Well, of course, I had the Packers.
Hey, Kirk
Not
Cousins.
My lock, though.
Yeah. Well, Kirk Cousins, you're my guy. But I am not going to ride the Vikings train anymore this year. What a joke.
You shouldn't.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in, I think we should target a trade for defense or go get Clay Matthews. What do y'all think?
Clay Matthews. This has been mentioned before, right?
Clay Matthews is a popular guy.
Yeah.
Great commercials. I just don't think he's got a whole lot left in the tank.
Yeah, I really think that, of course, here's the thing. It's so hard to find pass rushers in the NFL. You're not going to go out and get someone right now who really is going to improve you there, right?
You need the guy you're paying $13 million to step up and sack the quarterback.
I mean, if you are paying $25 million to these two guys to get after the quarterback, how are you going to go then like, try to trade for someone else? Like, they have to earn their money. And I don't think it's impossible. Someone tweeted out the snap counts came out, and I think Vic Beasley only had like 10, 11 snaps, which is
pretty low.
Not great. You know, Landry's up there in the 60s, high 60s, but these guys have got to produce. I think if you're going to make a trade at the trade deadline, I think you're looking at offensive tackle, at least depth, because now what if you have another injury there?
Speaking of trade deadlines, you remember that article I told you guys about, Bill Barnwell?
Yeah. And
so I have it pulled up. You know, one of his trades actually plays into the division. The Jets trade Sam Darnold to the Colts, potentially. Mm. That's it for a second round pick in 2021 and a third round pick. Would you do that if you're the Colts?
Well, if the Colts,
I probably would.
If the Colts did that, does that mean the Colts are like, get in there, Sam, and Phil have a seat? Is that the implication there?
Who would you want right now at starting quarterback if you're the Colts, Phillip Rivers or Sam Darnold?
Well, the thing is, I mean, Rivers actually came up huge yesterday. I will say that you throw in this guy cold from another team, I don't know, man.
There could be a new breath of life underneath him to get out of New York.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, hey, I'm all for this actually happening in real life, but that would be an interesting choice. You just pay a lot of money. What'd you pay? $25 million for Philip Rivers to be your quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robbie, how about this one? How about Kenny Stills to the Packers?
I'll take it. Need somebody.
I knew he would take it.
I'll take it.
What other options do you have?
He doesn't get much work. He got the PI on Fulton in the end zone yesterday.
He'd get some work in Green Bay.
He would get some work with the Pack. They should go trade for a receiver. At least do that for Aaron Rodgers.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? Have somebody throw the ball to? Amazing how that would work out. When we come back, there was an interesting decision made yesterday by Romeo Crennel at the end of the game that's been highly controversial. We'll debate that next and whether or not he made the right move.
The game. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do.
Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown location this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Munson coming back in with a little T-swizzle. Like it.
Always, man.
Always good for some Taylor Swift action here.
I know you do. That's why I played it. And look what you guys made Romeo
Robbie's
Crennel do.
Dear close friend.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, look what you guys made Romeo Crennel do. You made him go for it on two.
That was a very controversial decision made yesterday by Romeo Crennel. And look, I'll be honest. Like, I understand both sides of it. If you're the Texans, you kick the extra point, you've got an 8-point lead at that point. And then the Titans have to not only drive the entire length of the field and score a touchdown, but they've also got to go for two and make it after that. But I do understand from the standpoint of Romeo Crennel, number one, you're 1-4. What do you have to lose? You're the interim head coach, and you're a guy that's been around the league so long, you're not going to get a full-time head coaching job. You don't really care about that. And your defense is just getting shelled by Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. You get the 2-point conversion, it's a 9-point lead, and the game's over at that point, and the Texans win. So I understand both sides of it, but as soon as they missed that 2-point conversion yesterday, I knew the Titans had some hope, man. They were back in it.
Yeah, and hey, they may have come down and gotten the two and the touchdown. They got a two earlier to Nick Westbrook, by the way, who
good catch, good footwork on the back of the
guy
end
who
there.
Like in camp continued to show he had speed and ability to get open and been dropped a lot of passes, but he has bounced back. But I think at first, in general, I hate it, and I've seen it actually quite a bit in this league. I mean, you've seen a lot of guys go with this, and people will tell me the analytics will tell you that it's absolutely the thing to do, but I think it has to be situational. I get the idea of, okay, so is our defense going to win this, or we have one play with our offense? Our offense is killing them. Our defense has no chance. So let's take this one play with our offense, make one more play, and the game's over. So I get that. Like you said, also 1-4. And, hey, if Jeffrey Simmons doesn't get his paw up and get a piece of that ball, it's over. So at the same time, in general – 9 times out of 10, for me, if I'm making that decision, I'd rather the opponent not only have to come down the field and score, but then also back that up with a 2-point conversion. Make them do the hard thing to tie the game. And it didn't work out. Didn't work out for them. The Titans didn't have to have another play in the red zone to tie it. They just got to kick. Although, I guess, hey, at that point, with Gostkowski getting one blocked and pushing another short one, you don't necessarily feel like it's a gimme with the PATs now either, but it didn't work out. I at first I was like outraged, and then you think about how bad their defense is, and I can see it.
And then we all got to listen to like this Rich Gannon rant about analytics, and he pulled a card out of his back pocket.
Really?
And the card like tells you when you're supposed to go for two and when you're not. It looked like a Pokemon trading card out of like 1996 or something like that.
So what did he say? Did he like this or not?
No, he hated it. He hated it. And, you know, Jay Feely was saying it was about the analytics. And, you know, all of a sudden Rich Gannon pulls a card out of his back pocket like, this card here tells you when you need to go for two and when you don't. And I've had this card for 25 years.
Well,
like it was some sort of like ritual he was going through.
I wish he had a card that told him to stop throwing interceptions.
To the other team?
Yeah. I wish he had a card like that. That said, hey.
How old were you that day?
2011.
Okay, that's right in the sweet spot of really being mad about stuff like that.
Hey, it was 2011. So or 2001, excuse me. So yeah, I was 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So
don't listen to Rich Gannon. Is the moral of the story?
Well, the
kids.
Thing is, so he's taking the card, and that's different than the analytics. So that's the
all
chart.
Right, so we've got the card.
Right. Yep.
The chart. How many different things we got here trying to make these decisions?
Yeah, you got the chart, which is just a standard go for two here, and there's a lot more. The analytics say go for two a lot more than the chart does. So I got somebody on Twitter yesterday. I should find this. I mean, he's like, I'm going to make you see that this is the
I'm
math.
I'm going to make you see.
He's like,
you will know
that
you will
they learn.
Made the right decision.
Yeah. But a lot of people say it, and we are seeing more and more coaches do stuff like this. To me, like, make the other team do the difficult thing. Take free points unless you can't take free points.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texts in, no controversy. When your defense is fading, you go for the win on the road.
Yeah.
Go for the kill shot, baby.
In this situation, this is where, like, the charts and the analytics and all that stuff, kick it to the, send it into the sun, as you like to say, Robbie. And just look at what is your team good at and what is your team bad at. And I get that. From that perspective, do I like Deshaun Watson to make one more play when he constantly is making these little passes on fourth downs at the goal line against this team? Or are we going to stop these guys defensively? I get it. So I give him a pass on that one. I just
– was it as bad as Mike Zimmer?
Well, Mike Zimmer completely – botched the entire thing.
So no.
Because the difference there is that so that was going for two. Remind me of the score. So they're up five.
Yes.
So that was going for two. I don't remember what, but that was way too early to go for two. Take a free point. And if you do take the free point, instead of gambling a point for a second point, take the free point, you're up six late. And then the field goal
ends the game.
Ends it.
Mike, you don't have to make that decision on fourth and one.
You said the term coaching malpractice earlier in the show. That was coaching malpractice. This was questionable, but actually, the more I think about it, I don't hate it.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey text in, hey, guys, one important question. If the Titans win the division, isn't that an upgrade if they don't make it to the AFC Championship game? Like, how do you view this season if the Titans end up winning the division and they get beat by Baltimore or whoever in the divisional round, and don't make it back to the AFC title game? Is that an upgrade? How do you feel about that if you're a Titans fan?
Okay. So if you're a Titans fan, are you taking 9-7 AFC championship game and one step from the Super Bowl, or 12-4 division champs lose in the first round?
Give me the AFC title game.
Every time, right? 10 out of 10. I mean, this, like every sport, is about the postseason.
But it's high time they win the division.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you can put up a flag or a banner or whatever, and you can – it's a championship of some kind, so that would be great for them. And in most years, it would also mean you get a home playoff game. And this year, who knows what that would mean? Maybe there'll be a bubble. Maybe, I mean, if the things don't go well, it may be back to no fans or whatever it is. It doesn't mean as much, but nah. I mean, it's the postseason. The postseason is what matters.
Our good friend Johnny tweets in, where were the cards that would have helped Gannon's Raiders from getting steamrolled in the Super Bowl?
Wow, you're gonna reopen that
the
wound
card
for you,
to me. Like, remember when Butch Jones was the coach? He always used to talk about the chart and all these different things. These coaches got stopped.
Well, because Butch completely botched against Oklahoma, right? When everybody knew you go for two, or was it not? I forget. I know
the field
he botched
goal
it
from the 1 yard line with Jalen Hurd as his running back against the Big 12 defense.
There's that
kicked
too.
Field goal.
But he also did. Well, there was a 2-point decision in that game
there? Yeah,
and it was wrong. Like, your chart is wrong.
See, Butch, I would have a different chart. Like, if I'm standing on the sideline and Butch Jones makes a decision, my chart would be, whatever he said, don't do it. Do anything else. I saw him, like, yucking it up with Najee Harris the other night. Like, gosh, this guy's still around. He's still getting paid by Tennessee. It's unbelievable. What a life.
And now Tennessee's paying their D-line / co-D coordinator to not work the rest of this year.
And Pruitt got a 2-year extension. A lot of Vols fans upset about that over the weekend.
Yeah, we're back
extended to 2025.
We're back to Pruitt's contract. It doesn't take long.
Well, we knew we'd have that conversation at some point. So I look at this Titans game, 5-0, big picture in mind. You've got Pittsburgh coming in on Sunday. And look, this matchup, even back when they were both 3-0, everybody's looking forward to it. Can Ryan Tannehill and that offense move the ball against, I think, what will be the best defense they've seen thus far. We know about the challenges defensively the Titans have. We've talked about that a lot here on the show. But as they move forward to Pittsburgh, can you move the ball against that defense with, you know, obviously you feel good about Derrick Henry, you feel good about Tannehill. Maybe Corey Davis is back in that game, and that helps move the ball as well. A.J. Brown getting healthier. Can you move the ball against, I think, what will be the best defense they've seen? And a defense that absolutely terrorized Baker Mayfield and the Browns yesterday.
Yes. They will move the ball
against the Steelers. You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Now, will they score 42? I'm not ready to go there. But, yeah, I think this offense is going to have success against anyone in the league right now, the way it's playing. Now, with the Taylor Lewan caveat as well, that's going to make things challenging. How could it not? If you lose one of your best players and one of the best left tackles in the game, how could it not make things more difficult? It will. But I think Arthur Smith is a big reason I believe that. We haven't talked much about him today, but he continues to load up that resume for next year's head coach openings because, again,
the Wildcat was
– Yeah, that's a question I actually can't wait to ask him this week is how – on a day with your quarterback playing the way he's playing and is the best red zone QB in the NFL on third and goal from the 5.
In overtime.
Did you decide to go Wildcat? And it worked. So, I mean, some of this stuff is like if a play works, genius. If it doesn't, you're second guess and rip. But that was definitely a second guessable call if it doesn't work, but it did work. So,
well, even the route like that Humphreys ran when he kind of just like circles around to the left and then goes up. Yeah, Houston was like, wait a minute, he can run more than 10 yards past the line of scrimmage? What's this?
Right, yeah.
It was just a great day for Arthur Smith yesterday.
Yeah. So, no, look, the Titans are going to have offensive success. What does that mean against the Steelers? Because they are going to get after Tannehill, and they do have a really good secondary. Titans also should have Corey Davis back, I think.
Maybe
I don't know what that,
Adoree Jackson?
Maybe. Well, right, and then the other side of the ball, maybe Adoree Jackson. But I think they can approach 30 against anyone.
Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking some Titans, getting your reaction. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to Adam, who has called in wanting to weigh in on the Titans. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road. Go ahead.
Hey, buddy. So I know the defense has caught a lot of flack and the offense is getting a lot of praise. So I got to point out Jeffrey Simmons, man. 4 out of 5 games, he makes game-saving or game-winning plays. And, you know, I know Jarrell Casey, he kind of went out a little bitter. But hopefully he can look at the situation and understand why we did that. And he's just he's a game-wrecker, man. He's a game-changer. You got to account for him every play. It's not Clowney on our defense. It's Jeff Simmons. So I'm just really proud of that kid.
That's a great point, Adam. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And that point, I mean, 2-point conversion, gets his paws up on the ball, changes the trajectory of the ball, and the Titans live to fight another day or another drive in this instance.
Well, it's a good point. I'll also say this. If you were a Titans fan right now or you're the Titans and you had your choice of Vic Beasley or for roughly the same money, Jarrell Casey healthy, playing with you, playing next to Jeffrey Simmons, what would you choose right now?
Probably Jarrell Casey. Now, Jarrell Casey is hurt, but
no,
to your point,
sure.
Healthy.
He got hurt this year, but I mean, you know, if you could go back to the beginning of the year, all things equal. I know you can't, but I mean, that's the thing. Right now they are struggling to have enough around Simmons, and they shouldn't. I mean, they should be better, especially like linebacker and things like that. They shouldn't let teams run like they are. I know that the Texans only ran for 92, but David Johnson and Duke Johnson got some runs that you can't let happen yesterday. It makes things tougher, too. You get yourself in more conflicts as a defense if you can't just stop the run, especially against average backs.
Let's go back to the 102.5 The Game text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, 2 of Tannehill's biggest plays is where he moved the chains by throwing into a pass interference play. Happened twice yesterday where he throws the ball. I think A.J. Brown was one of them.
Yeah.
He just got ripped down to the ground. I can't remember the
Humphreys,
other one.
Humphreys, I think.
Yeah, it was
or
Humphreys.
Actually, or was it Ferkser? Yeah, I mean, I think it was Humphreys. Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't stop Ferkser yesterday. It probably was a good idea to interfere with him a little bit.
That's exactly right. Hey, I retweeted. Warren Sharp did an amazing breakdown of the whole Vrabel penalty thing. And I was right. It was the Jets.
Look at you.
See, I questioned myself, but it was the Jets. It was late in that game. And basically, you stop the clock. You give them a fresh set of downs. and then you go from there and you help yourself with the clock. And the amazing thing, like you said it earlier, of course, I'm at the press box. I'm not watching the television broadcast. But he, first of all, two things that Warren Sharp circled. One is Jonathan Joseph being totally puzzled, like, why are you keeping me
on the field?
We have 12 guys. And then also, when they get the penalty, Vrabel, like, acting all angry. That was awesome.
Sell job by Vrabel there was great.
Is there any chance?
Which is why I think when y'all ask him about it today, he's going to be like, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Well, I mean, is there any chance? Oh, my gosh. Luke says, Luke Worsham, probably my favorite question asker of Titans postgame. He tells me that Vrabel told Joseph, quote, I appreciate the concern. Oh, no, he's kidding. All right, that's a joke. That's an amazing joke, though, Luke, because Vrabel, of course, loves to say that to us. We're like,
I appreciate the concern.
Your pass rush is really stinks. Well, I appreciate the concern. It's the Mike Vrabel bless your heart.
Yes, very condescending. But also great in nature.
I hope Vrabel will acknowledge the penalty.
He's not going to.
I doubt he will, though.
It's an advantage. He doesn't want people catching on to it. It's too late for that now, though.
Yeah.
And can you win Coach of the Year off of one play? It's unbelievable. And that saved the Titans 40 seconds. They tied the game with 4 seconds left.
Yep.
He won them the game.
It's a loophole. And again, the thing last year, too, with the clock, which Belichick did first, and he does it to Belichick. Those things are big. Those are really big.
That's incredible. I saw this coming out last night on social media. To intentionally send 12 men on the field to get a penalty to stop the clock, to save yourself some time when it's 2nd and 1, you know Houston's moving the ball anyway. That's a genius move. Genius move.
Pretty good stuff.
I've never seen anything like that at the NFL level. Vrabel's a step ahead, man. We talked about the coaching of the year conversation. Somebody brought it up.
If we can talk
on the
MVP,
text line, if we can talk MVP, we can talk coach of the year.
Let's hand out Heisman, coach of the year, and MVP right now. Tannehill, Vrabel, Garantano. Boom. Over.
Did you just say Garantano? Wow. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, Sembrio or Isaiah Wilson, whoever is coming in to replace Lawan is going to have a tough job with the Steelers' edge rushers this week. I hope they're ready.
Did he just say Isaiah Wilson as a candidate to come in and replace Lawan?
Well, I mean, he's got to be at least a candidate, right, if Lawan's out?
No. Isaiah Wilson's not playing.
But, I mean, like, he's going to be active. Like, he's going to...
Right.
Maybe see the field.
Isaiah Wilson won't play
left
tackle.
He's not playing left tackle.
Well, that's what I thought he was saying.
No.
Oh, okay.
Just the edge rushers in general.
Yeah. Isaiah Wilson's, I mean, look, he's not playing this week unless somebody gets hurt. But this is critical that they get him ready right now because you got to have depth. And a first-round pick, gosh, you would hope that could at least be a depth player for you, right, at this point.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, it's disappointing that this situation happened. Number one, it's disappointing for Taylor Lewan. But number two, it's disappointing that this situation happened yesterday and he wasn't ready to go in. Like,
sure,
you would think under normal circumstances, Lewan goes down. Okay, you move Dennis Kelly to left tackle, put Isaiah Wilson in at right tackle, and you move on from there. But it doesn't sound like he's anywhere close to being ready for that.
Yeah, we'll find out a lot more about that this week in practice. You know, how much work is he getting? How many reps is he getting? How's he look out there? I mean, I have no idea. We haven't really seen him in weeks. So about to find out more about Isaiah Wilson and what's been going on. Because all this time, a lot of, like, working through stuff, of course, but also you were drafted in the first round to be somebody who matters as a rookie.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asked, did Vrabel do the quick handshake and sprint to the locker room? He did sprint. The handshake was a little bit longer with Romeo Crennel. I watched.
Okay.
It was a little bit more of a dabbing up a little bit.
I was, okay. Good to know. I missed it. That's a good question. So, yeah, you would think there'd be a little bit more for a guy who's like one of his mentors.
Now, having said that, him and Belichick may have been the quickest one ever. Of him just, like, I don't even know if they touched each other. I think they just ran by each other on the way to the locker room.
He traded him to Kansas City. He'd never forget.
You get out of here, Bill.
Speaking of that, with the clock thing with that, the side-by-side, someone did a side-by-side. Or maybe it was on the broadcast, but Belichick F-bombing the refs.
Yeah.
And Vrabel just sort of laughing. I mean, it was almost like he knew he was F-bombing the refs at the time. He enjoyed that one. I mean, he would never talk about it.
Vrabel had some nice speed yesterday, too, on Henry's run down the sideline. He was going.
Last week in practice, he caught a fade.
Mike Vrabel did.
And he looked like he could still score a touchdown or two for you.
Player coach?
Could be.
Moving on, player coach.
Maybe he could be the left taco.
The left taco. What a slip by me.
This was the left taco episode. Robbie Stanley, everybody.
Greatest position in football history, the left taco. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. Got all the Titans coverage for you. This is ESPN 102.5, The Game.